the bottom of the right column.
Tafresh.
The year is Tafresh Nun Tes. It's exactly 100 years ago. Okay. Everybody want a safety? Do you want a safer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead
over here. Okay. I'll put it over here. It's page 159. That's okay. I know. It's hard to hold on to the piece.
What page?
159 on the bottom of the right column. Vehine Amru Chazal, the Chachamim said, Ein Habracha Shora B'Dover Hamadud V'Umanui. That blessing does not rest upon something which is measured or counted. I think that's in Baba Metzia. Kikol Hamidav, did you get it? There you go.
Oh, sorry.
Sure. Kikol Hamidav V'Hashir Hu Mitzad HaTeva. Anything which is of measure or amount is in relationship to teva, right, to the confines of nature. It's been measured, it's been weighed, it's been counted. That's a natural teva phenomenon. The habracha himin hashorish she'ein bo kitzva v'shir. But bracha comes from the source, it comes from the root, where there is no fixed amount and there is no measure. In other words, it's above the realm where nature and its confines begin. Bracha starts in a higher realm. Lachain HaShabbos Shabo Shora HaBracha Nitin Rak L'Bnei Yisrael. Therefore Shabbos, where the Bracha resides, was given only to B'nai Yisrael. Meaning, B'nai Yisrael has a source, which is our Neshama and our source in Shemaim, which is above that realm of Teva. We're up, our Shorish Neshama is up there. Shabbos has its source up there also, above the realm of Teva. So we were given the mitzvah of Shabbos because we share in common that Shoresh, which is above that realm of Teva. V'atichumen shehem lahavdil, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. V'hashabbos tzorech shemira. Shabbos needs shemira, protection, diligence, guarding it. Kamosha Karsavu Shamartem as the Shabbos. As it says, you shall guard the Shabbos. Now it's an interesting thing because you think, well, if it's above the realm of measure, you know, what do you have to protect? How is it vulnerable? But it's not the case. We actually do have to guard.
He's actually talking about guarding Shabbos Labriut, or we need to guard ourselves. For keeping, you know, be careful about keeping Shabbos.
I certainly would say it's both. Mm-hmm. But he didn't put a definition down yet.
Okay.
V'hatechumen shehem lehavdil shelo yispashet ha'oros ha'shabbos l'chutz min ha'makom shemiyuchad le'ish yisrael. That is a powerful idea he just said, right? The concept of tichum on Shabbos is that here's your city. This is your makom. Once the city ends, you have 2,000 amos where you're allowed to walk. You can't go further than that, according to some, that's de'oraisa. Right? Certainly in Isser de'Rabbanan. 2,000 amos, that's about 1 kilometer. Around the roundabout your city, you can walk. So he says, the idea of that, of tichum, is that they separate, mean to say they cause a certain protective barrier, so that the light of Shabbos does not spill out outside of its place of designation to the Jewish person. So that Nazi saying that's the concept of Shabbos is holding on to its light. And the mitzvah of Tichum is an illustration of that. This is your makom, this is Kedusha Shabbos. It's contained till one meal, 2,000 amos, it's contained to make sure that the or doesn't spread out of its proper boundaries and it stays within Kedushas Yisroel.
Okay.
Okay.
What I'm trying to understand, though, and that's if we take that for each individual Jew,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and if this was your place and you have this kilometer
around about your city.
Around about our city. Then outside that boundary, It's different.
Right, it's still Shabbos.
Right, it's still Shabbos.
Right, but this is this concept is the holding in of the light of Shabbos.
Right, but
holding
if you have another Jew that is...
So he holds it in over there,
right,
so wherever that Jew is.
But don't they overlap?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Don't
yeah, I mean, it's Shabbos for everybody in
right.
every place. Sure, it overlaps. But his idea here is that Shabbos belongs within Kedushas Yisrael. That's its place. Its source is above nature, our source is above nature, so therefore it's fixed into. And where is Kedushas Yisrael? Anywhere where Jews live. That's where you have Kedushas Yisrael. If you have one Jew, right, he has that 2,000 amos around him. That's what he's got. You have a city of Jews, they have 2,000 amos around where they live. It's shayach to Kedushas Yisrael, right? If you had a city of Gentiles, although it would still be Shabbos in the world, but there'd be no concept of to whom related to that city. Nobody there is prohibited from walking more than 2,000 amos. It's almost that particular mitzvah requires the residence of the Jewish people.
And do non-Jews benefit?
Well, he's going to talk about that in a minute, how the bracha does end up spilling
one
out
Jew
properly.
In a city
sure.
of all non-Jews,
sure.
you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shimon, do you have a comment?
I was just wondering what, I think you said it might be coming up, so this way.
Wait a minute, okay. Ephraim, you got a question? Shora bo habracha. So then, as a result of this Kedusha Shabbos that maintains its connection to the residents of Jewish people, the bracha rests there. Shemitam ze habracha mispashet acharkach b'mida v'shir. Then afterwards, after the bracha is captured, you might say, within the proper shmira, keeping of Shabbos, then, once we have it, we've tapped into its source, now it can appropriately spill over into the realm of nature in numbers and in counting. It's going to play itself out. So it starts off, we're tapping the source of the bracha. In order to hold on to that, we have this mitzvah of tchumen. And once we have it, the bracha can overflow into the realm of nature. Kedei shelo lehispashet lechutz. And then once it's in the realm of nature, it doesn't spill out further. Right? It takes form. It becomes a concrete bracha, and it has a proper place. And it doesn't find itself going into improper places. Kemo shekasuv, re'ei she'ein reshoim kedai lehishtamesh ba'or, behivdil v'zeh shagonzo b'soch hateva. Oh. He says, back to that pasuk in Bereshis, when Hashem separated the light, by Abdel Kim ben Orbe Yehoshua, so Rashi says there that God took the light which was so precious in the time of Maaseh Bereshis, and he hid it away for tzaddikim, because the Rishoim, the wicked people, would abuse the light. So where is it hidden? Right, the Baal Shem Tov says it's hidden in the Torah. The Svarim HaKadoshim say it's hidden in the Hanukkah and Neros. That's where the Or HaGanuz is from Reb Pinchas Koritzer. Now he says something here which is really, as I see it, a phenomenal finish. Right? He says it's hidden within nature. It's right here. It's not in some, you know, esoteric place. But Hashem took that light and he hid it really well. He hid it within the thick cover of nature, of Teva. That's the statement. I'm going to read it again. Ra'a she'ein reshoim kedai lehishtamesh ba'or, v'hivdil bazeh, he separated in this manner, shagunzo b'soch ha'teva, that he hid it inside of that cover of nature, v'lachein Yaakov shakasu bo shemira Shabbos, nitin lo ha'orat shelo b'mira. Therefore Yaakov, who... The Torah alludes to the fact that he kept Shabbos. It says he camped, you know, by the city. They learned from there he did the mitzvah of Tehumen. That's why he's talking about it here. So he kept the Shabbos. He held on to it. And because of that, he was given Eretz Yisrael, which is a physical land, without measure. In other words, if a Jew is able to penetrate the cover of nature and get to the Or HaGanuz that's inside, God hid it there. A Jew has the unique ability to penetrate nature, or we could say to rise above it, however you want to look at it, and find the source of bracha. When we do that, we found the Or HaGanuz, we found that light which is hidden, and the result is that physical things which we inherit are inherited without boundary, like the land of Eretz Yisrael. When you basically find the key of the source of the bracha, then the whole realm of nature opens up to you. Yaakov Avinu found the key. He found the mitzvah of Shabbos. He kept Shabbos. It's mentioned in this parasha he alluded to. And as a result of that, the physical earth of Eretz Yisrael was given to him shelo b'mida, without any measure. Let me just take one more line. V'chein nisa b'yitzchak, sha'umet zeh l'maisres haya. Likewise, we find with Yitzchak that when it said that, I think it refers to when he had was a mea sha'orim, I'm not sure, that he measured his produce and it was for the sake of maisering, for the sake of tithing it. And that's also finding the kedusha within Teva. Right? He got all this bounty, bountiful crops. If you reach into it, find the kedusha, which is the Or HaGanuz, that has to do with the mitzvah associated with that physical thing. If you get to it, then the physical bounty will multiply. Shehamida shehu letzorach hamitzvah. That there, the amount and the measure that you engage yourself in has nothing to do with teva, but it's because of a mitzvah. You take your money, your profit, right? You measure it. One-tenth. That's a very defined amount. One-tenth. Isn't that going to confine what you're doing then, if you're going to get into measuring how much money you have? Not if you measure your wealth in a manner which is above teva, which is to say through the mitzvah that guides our interaction with that wealth. So you measure your money, fine, do it by taking the mitzvah of Meister. You've captured the Or HaGanuz in the teva, in this case of wealth, and that will multiply what you have. Adaraba hu hachana lishros bo hachana habracha. It is, on the contrary, that kind of measuring, which is for the sake of mitzvah, that is a preparation to penetrate and allow bracha to reside in the physical world. So going back to what you asked, Bruce, about how that affects, you know, Gentiles, is that if a Jewish person interacts with the world in this way, you know, then that bracha affects everybody. And that's the idea, that the nations of the world as well recognize the place of the Jewish people in their commitment to Torah, then that bracha, you know, flows over.
And
spiritually
how,
too.
And how did the Beis HaMikdash fit into this type of idea?
Well, I think that's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. The Beis HaMikdash, if you look at the Mishkan, right, you can't get much more precise in terms of how big something has to be and how small. The Oron is this big. The boards are this big. Right? The menorah is exactly like this. It's very precise. And they counted all the gold and all the silver in the Torah in Vayakhel Pekudei, and they measured it. Right? Since when do Jews count money and say, like, we have exactly this much? You know, we wouldn't do that. You know, Bli Ayin Hara. You know, poo, poo, poo. We don't want any kind of restraint on that. We don't count. We have fixed numbers, because when it has to do with the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, then the whole concept of our approach to the physical world is changed by measuring that has to do with mitzvahs. And he connects that to finding the Or HaGanuz in physical things. Josh?
So there's a corollary to that, you know, the fact that we are very careful in measuring when Shabbos starts and ends and things like that.
The time measure.
That's connected to the mitzvah, so that's
sure.
That's okay.
Sure. And then also in the realm of weights and measures, you know, we're really cautioned in the Torah that our weights and measures should be precise, because then we're measuring in order to prevent theft, you know, to prevent geneva as a mitzvah.
With miser behemoth, or, you know, with animals, it's even that is, there's not leeway, but with miser tzachim, you have to measure the total to take a tenth. But with Maisa Behema, you count off and every tenth one, you Maisa. So you could count off and get, then you end up with a group over here which is Maisa and a group over here which is the rest of them, and you may still not know how many you have total. So you still
you
have...
You could come close to, well, I mean, if you multiply that by 10.
If you actually looked at it. But you could just say we have two
right.
herds.
You could end up without having to actually count. That's
yes.
right.
And which is right. still allowed to the bracha.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I was thinking that the idea of life within nature is kind of correlated by the equation of energy and matter. You know, the fact that Einstein's equation is that matter is directly translatable into energy, which is light for one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly there are physical corollaries for every spiritual, you know, principle.
Yeah.
Shimon, did you have a comment you wanted
no.
to make?
No.
Was that? We hit on it? Yeah. Yes, Ava.
I just want to make sure that I understand this. I understand the concept of the relationship between nature and God. Now, is he saying that that there's something hidden within nature?
Yeah.
Right. How are we supposed to find it then?
We find it, his approach here, by finding the mitzvah that's associated with that realm of nature. If it's shatness, you know, to close, or tzitzis, you just took, you know, physical fabric and you found its mitzvah expression, right? If it's tzedakah with money, you know, if it's a lulav and esrog with growing things. So we're touching different domains of the physical world, inanimate, plant, animal, through korbanos or sudas mitzvah. You know, an act of chesed to another person, now we're touching the realm of the human. And that those mitzvahs are really the guideline of the Torah as to where that inner light lies. A person who really becomes an Oved Hashem, what they end up knowing how to do is interacting in the physical world where it's not obligatory, where it's not a mitzvah per se, and still being able to serve God through the physical by somehow, you know, finding a path to bring that to Avodas Hashem. It's a little bit similar to what we talked about last week in Shvat Sanus, about finding the, approaching the physical way in such a way that it serves God. But the, you know, the depth of the concept here is that that's where the Or HaGadol is. And where did Hashem hide that light? You know, we would say, well, way up there, you know, the highest levels of Shemayim, Hashem hid that light, you know. It's right here in the midst of Teva, that's where the Or HaGadol is.
So the light, what is kind of the translated word? Light, yeah. So that light, it's not like there's a definite number of pieces of it. It's limitless. It's an infinite light.
And that's the concept of it coming from that source of blessing which is not hampered by nature.
Since it's infinite, then each of us has an opportunity.
Exactly. And you can do one mitzvah today and have tapped into that or a certain amount, and then next week, you know, being a little more prepared, a little more learned, a little more dedicated, do the same mitzvah and really tap into a greater amount of that or.
It doesn't
Please
seem... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go.
I was just thinking that maybe it's a perfect hiding place.
Isn't it?
That the Rishayim, when they you know, a Rush is someone who doesn't relate to the physical. All they relate to is the physical. So that's all they see. So it's, you know, it's right there in front of them.
Right there in front of them.
But they have no ability to see it because that's just not how they relate to what's right in front of them.
Yeah. It really, you know, to me, it strikes an image of Yaakov and Esav. You know, Esav is really in the physical, and he looked physical, and he was physical, and I'm sure he was really smart, too. You know, and that same physical world that Yaakov dealt with, he found the light inside. Esau was blind to it. It was a physical for its own sake, which can become very sophisticated and advanced, but never goes you know, down to a certain depth, meaning to say it never touches our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the concept that Esav is Yoresh Olam Hazeh, right? That doesn't mean that Esav descendants are all laborers. No, anything that has to do with the godless of Olam Hazeh, it could be medicine, it could be science, really sophisticated, intelligent stuff. If it's never connected to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, then it remains Biyad Esav. That's the concept that he's Yoresh Olam Hazeh. Once it's connected to Hashem, then in this Olam, you touch Olam Haba. Yaakov Avinu is Yoresh Olam Haba, even in Olam Hazeh, because he gets the Or HaGadosh. Bruce, you had a comment before?
I was just going to say, basically, partly what he said, it just seems like it's not even hidden. You know, like when you say it's like the perfect place, it's like it's almost not even hidden. It's like it's here, and it's here for us, right here, and it's us putting up a barrier, which is not seeing, you know, the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yet we're immersed in it, but we don't even know it. I mean, and until we know it, we can't take it, you know?
Well, you know, the Ramchal writes that all, you know, all of the obstacles come from people. God is always giving.
So like you said, yeah, it's a perfect hiding place. Hashem hid it.
It is a perfect hiding place.
Without hiding it. That's why. It's always easy, though.
It's a good title for your next book, Shin. The perfect hiding place.
Okay.
Let's take a look at one more. I got a couple more minutes. This is the very next mimer, the one that follows it, Vayira Vayetzer. So right before Yaakov met up with Esav, it says Vayira, he was afraid. Vayetzer is also a lesson of being disturbed or frightened. Shema Yaharog Acherim. So the Chachamim write, he was afraid that maybe he would be killed. Vayetzer, he was pained that maybe he would have to kill others. That's a chazar. Dichsiv, as it says, Titen emes liYaakov, Pasuk says, give truth to Yaakov. The meat of emes is Yaakov. The Yaakov who bechinas eitz hachaim, Torah emes, v'hakol tolu yibov. Yaakov is the quality of the tree of life, the Torah of emes, all is dependent upon that. Ilona dechaye, that's the Aramaic word of eitz hachaim, umezona lekulabe, and sustenance for all things are within it. So this MS Eitz HaChaim, Ilan Adachai, it has sustenance for all things that's associated with Yaakov. V'yisa b'zor HaKadosh b'shalach, pas b'pasuk Omar Iyov, I'm sorry, Omar Oyev. It says in the Zohar, in the Parashas b'shalach, in the pasuk of, in the Shiraz Hayam, in the song after the splitting of the sea, Amar Oye Verdofasi Gachaleg Shalom, right? The enemy said, I will pursue them, I will catch them, I will divide the spoils. That's what the Egyptians were saying when they chased Bnei Yisrael out of toward the Red Sea, toward the Yamsuf. The Kad Yisrael Shalita Da Achidan Begufe de Ilana Boi Lenatra Ulamehav Shalma Bakula Ayin Shem. I'll try this. When the Jewish people, Shalita, when they have a certain sense of rulership, when they are grasping, the Achidan is a lesson of grasping, with the very body of the tree, they have to guard it, or it could also mean that they must be guarded, I'm not sure. It sounds to me like they have to guard that tree, and then to bring Shalom upon all things. So that's a quote from the Zohar. When the Jewish people have a certain rule or authority and they grasp the tree, the Eitz HaChaim apparently, it requires protection and then peace is given to all. V'lachin, Ratza Yaakov Litein Gam LeEsav Chelko. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu, he wanted Esav to have his portion too. That was also Emes. Yaakov had no intent of taking away what was rightfully Esav's. Why did he take the brachos? Because they actually were rightfully Yaakov's. But the portion that was Esav's, he had no intent whatsoever to harm that. As a matter of fact, that he should take it and it should be a good lot for him. And that's a concept that peace should come into all. Everybody should get their portion. Vathilu hasheker, amru chazal shetchilaso emes. He says, even falsehood, right? The Chachamim said that it begins with a little bit of truth. There's a little bit of truth in every falsehood. V'haremez hachayim yodim shayamusu, v'hameisim harishoyim enam yodim u'uma. So the hint of this is this. Those who live know that they're going to die. Those who are dead, they don't know a thing. All right? The concept here being a person who is aware of good and evil in the world, aware of God, relationship with Hashem. He knows that a time comes when they're going to die. Those who are dead, right, they're entirely similar to what Shimon was saying before, entirely in touch only with the physical, have no relationship with God. Right, so basically they're considered like they're, so to speak, dead. Right? They don't know anything. They're all blinded by the veil of the world. Ha'emes kolo ha'kol. Truth contains all. That's a cryptic statement for me right there where he places it. You know, what does that have to do with it? But maybe he's talking about the awareness, right? That if you're alive and you're aware, you're both aware of life and death. It contains all. If you're unaware, you're aware of nothing. Neither life nor death. V'amru sheker ein lo raglayim sheinam iskayim. And it is said that sheker has no feet, meaning it has nothing to exist upon. Eventually it's going to dissipate. Avol techilaso, but the very beginning of sheker, right, when something of falsehood begins to disseminate, tzorich lihiyos bo mashehu devekus b'shoresh achiyus, it has something which is stuck and attached to the source of life. So if there's a lie or a falsehood in a small sense or in a larger scale in the world, there is some nekuda of truth where it got its energy from. Now it's going to eventually just going to play itself out. It will detach itself from the emes, and it will disappear. But while it's here, as long as it's playing itself out in the world, there's something, a little bit of emes going on in there. It's very distorted, it's very destructive, but it's going on in there. So a tzaddik who has full awareness, he can even find, you know, Esav's place in the world. Yaakov said, Esav has a place here. There's some emes, a nekuda somewhere. I don't want to take that away. I have to be aware of everything in the world. Whereas the other side of it will not allow a portion to anybody, and ultimately they even take away their own chelek by not being aware of it. So Yaakov, that goes back to the first quote. He was afraid he would be killed. He was afraid maybe he would kill others. Meaning, somebody else's rightful portion in the world, even Esau's, he did not want to deprive them of their rightful portion in the world. That's a madrega. Yeah, that's really a madrega. That's interesting because with Amalek, you know, we don't have that. That's not an open possibility. It's destruction. That's it. But other nations, we have to know, you know, how much we fight and what we have to maintain, which is their rightful chelek in the world. That's really a tough, I think it's a very tough decision to make.
So with the Bnei Yishmael, there's some confusion over whether they're, I mean, not they have a right to what we have, but that they have a right to exist.
Right? Absolutely. Just not to have Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael as there. That's not their chelek. There, that's what he was talking about here. Right? They don't know Ma'uma. They're thinking that what's ours is theirs.
Well, that's because we're thinking.
we've been affected by that. No question about it.
But
yes, you tell us.